surgery?
No.
Do you do that?
I think there's several things.
He's on the other side.
Is he, oh, okay, is he kind of a small?
Yeah.
Needing to go somewhere with his.
Yeah.
What is his name?
It's like,
Yeah. If you do it.
Now, he's kind of new, I think.
Is he?
I was working here.
Is it for a while? In the 4 or 5 days.
Oh, I see, none of the truck for the car.
I went, tried to go see.
And I got the name, I'm a public, and all we get hold of him, Jim.
Before.
And he said, send them a text message.
But he wasn't taking me, he said I needed a.
Friday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And here, I had to go see Dr. Moore.
Under terms. I had the same.
You're gonna leave tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah, he told me.
I got a little cheat sheet. Songs, it said, song like. But it looks like it's been replaced with perfectly clean. Yep, I had that just right there for such an occasion.
There was actually a thing.
Didn't bring my glasses, so that's helpful. I can see it. How many songs we need, Jenny?
David's gonna do songs.
Good. Well, we'll see. What your opinion is at the end.
Well, I can tell you, you're doing just fine.
Well, I usually have some time to figure out songs. All right, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Glad to have everyone here, and I feel a good spirit here tonight. Everybody seems to be in a pretty good mood, so that's wonderful. Everybody put your cell phones on silent. We're going to begin tonight's song service, and I'm probably going to need a little help as we go along, because we didn't know anybody was going to need to do this tonight. James Oliver's not able to be with us this evening. So we're going to open your song books to number 700, To the Work. I don't know if I've ever led this. I've sung it a lot. I don't know if I've ever led this one. To the Work.
To the work, to the work, we are servants of God. Let us follow the path that our Master has trod. With the balm of his counsel, our strength to renew, let us do of life, let the weary be led. In the cross and its banner our glory shall be, while we herald the tidings salvation is free. Toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the Master comes. To the work, there is labor for all, for the kingdom of darkness and error shall fall. And the name of Jehovah exalted shall be, in the loud swelling chorus salvation is free. Toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the Master comes.
Very good. Let's see here. What about, James, can you find there's a royal banner for me, please? What's the number of that? Oh, never mind, I think I found it. 671. 671. Who has closed? Do we just pick someone? Okay. All right. Jamie, will you lead our opening prayer for this, please? Jamie Pope. 671. There's a royal banner.
There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the King. And in its unfair, we lift it up today while the ransom ones we sing. Marching on, marching on, for Christ found everything but loss. And to crown him King, toil and sing, beneath the banner of the cross. Over land and sea, wherever men may dwell,
make the glorious
tidings known of the crimson banner. Now the story tell, while the Lord shall claim his own. Marching on, marching on, for Christ count everything but loss, and to crown him King, toil and sing, beneath the banner of the cross. When the glory dawns, 'tis drawing very near, by day. Then before our King the foe shall disappear, and across the world shall sway. Marching on, marching on, for Christ count everything but loss, and to crown him King, toil and sing, beneath the banner of the cross.
Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you again in prayer, thanking you for this day that we have to be here and hear your word and learn and study. Lord, be with us tonight as we go through this class to open our eyes and open our minds so that we can learn more about your word. That the more we learn and the more we know, the more readily we can pass that on to others. Heavenly Father, we ask that in each day of our lives that we're trying to set an example for someone to follow, that we're trying to reach others and spread your word. We try to do that through an example that you say you created us in your likeness, and we need to try to fulfill those shoes when we're out in public where someone will know that there's something different about us. Heavenly Father, be with the sick of this congregation and those that need a little special attention and care. Be with those and give them the strength that they need. Hey, Father, be with the Millers and some others that may not know about that's going to be traveling. It's that time of the year that people go places and do things, and be with them and watch over their travels and keep them safe so that they can come back here and worship with us. Be with the teacher of the class tonight that he can have a ready recollection of what it is he studied and prepared, and that we can get something out of it. Father, be with this congregation here as we worship. Keep us worshiping you and in the manner that we should. And these things we ask in your name we pray. Amen.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Let's see. What's This Is My Father's World? Look that up for me, James. Six sixty-nine. This is my Father's world.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, on skies and seas, His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The bird their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear Him fast. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is a ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King. Let heaven ring. God reigns. Let earth be glad.
I'm going to sing another one. I had one I struck out on, so we're going to try
right
again. So, okay. So, go ahead and mark where we're at right now, because we're going to sing 667 as a song of encouragement. And let's see. I had it there and I've lost it. How about As the Deer Pants for the Water? Where's that one?
843.
Okay, James knows that. We sing that one quite a bit. I like it. This is my Father's world. It's kind of a timely song, is it not? Mm-hmm. A lot of trouble, a lot of things going on in the world. God, it is His world. It's His dominion. And He's the ruler of it. And He'll make everything right. 843. As the deer panteth for the water.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you any other so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Well, David, that's my favorite song in Ukrainian.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a pretty song in English.
It is.
That's a good meaning.
Yep, really pretty. Okay, good evening, everyone. We are in Philippians chapter 1. We had gone through verse 11 of the first chapter last week. Well, 3 weeks ago. I want to thank James for teaching class for me the last 2 weeks while I was gone to polishing the pulpit and visiting with my kiddos down in Arkansas. Same abbreviation almost, right? and so it was a blessing. It was a blessing. I want to go back to verse 11. I was going back and reading the early verses to try to, you know, kind of catch up to where we were at and picking this up. But verse 11 really struck me because I've been studying about righteousness. I am going to be teaching, going to a youth rally tomorrow night to teach the kids from Little Egypt Youth Camp that are coming after camp, and they come together for kind of a round, you know, a finishing up session, I guess. And the theme is righteousness, pursuing righteousness. But this verse, as having read it, it just struck a chord with me with that, and I think it'll be a good inroad to what we're doing tonight. He says, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I think it's so important that we recognize and understand that righteousness comes from Jesus and because of Jesus. We do what we do not to get righteousness, but because we are righteous, we do the will of God. Because he's made us right, and so we are to fill him. And so this verse has really struck me that being filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ. So our salvation, our righteousness, being right with God, comes because of Jesus and what he has done for us. Okay, now, as we continue on in verse 12, we're going to read 12 through 14. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Now, I want to hit on verse 13 for a moment about Paul being imprisoned, right? So that my imprisonment of the cause of Christ will become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. The Praetorian Guard was the elite guard of the Roman Empire. And so to think that Paul was guarded by that, turn back to Acts chapter 28. If you would, and we'll look briefly there. I thought it was important for us to see Paul about Paul's imprisonment. And we'll pick it up about verse 16, I believe. Chapter 28, sorry. 28 and verse 16. Now Paul had been coming to Rome. His long trip that he took by ship and such had taken him down to the southern part of Italy and then up the coast. And now he has come to his place where he's going to stay. And it's not a jail as such. It's a home, he tells us here in verse 16. It says, when we entered Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldiers who was guarding him. And then he talks a bit about those that came to see him, both Jews and Gentiles, and how some reacted for him and some against him. But dropped all the way down to verse 30. And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters, and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. What do you think about that? Paul had his own home with a Roman guard in his own house that he paid rent for. You don't think about having to go to jail and pay rent, do you? I thought that was an interesting thought. But the thing that I wanted us to see here is that Paul's in prison now. He's in prison when he's writing to the Philippians. And that soldier that was guarding him apparently, and again, I'm assuming a little bit here, but that the soldiers that guarded him were the Roman Praetorian Guard, because it says, and the whole, go back to Philippians, okay, we'll just go back there. Philippians, the first chapter again, and verse 13. So that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. The thought is not original with me. I don't know where I heard it or saw it, but it made sense to me. Paul, for 2 years, had the Praetorian Guard captive. They thought they had him captive. But he had them captive, because he's talking to everybody as they came and gone, and there was a guard there the whole time. And so what he was and who he was known throughout this whole guard. And I'd have no idea how big this guard was. I didn't look that part up. I suppose I could find it to have some idea of it. But this guard was the elite guard of Rome. And I will bet you, a bottom dollar down, if you will, that Paul converted some of those guys. Some of those people became Christians because they were guarding the Apostle Paul. Because he was talking, people came and went with him all the time while he was in prison. So, I'm sorry, I'm backing up again to verse 12. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. What was Paul's circumstance? He was in prison, right? He was jailed. Not like a normal prisoner, and I don't know why that he was given this privilege for sure. But we know that he's there in prison. And he can't come and go as he wants. But his circumstances, and Paul says what about it? Turned out for the greater progress. Think about your circumstances of life sometimes. Sometimes when things are hard, can you say, thank you, God, that this turned out for the greater good? That's kind of a tough one sometimes, isn't it? To see that and admit that and to follow through with that. Jamie and I were just talking about back pain, right, Jamie? Before services. I don't know that I can say that I thought about my back bothering me. I do get to sit down and teach this class because of it. So maybe that's a greater good, right? But God's got something in mind for us when we go through difficult circumstances. What would some of those things be, maybe, that you could think of?
Humility.
Most definitely humility. Most definitely. Stacy, I never knew you before your accident, but you're just a light, and I just appreciate you so much, you know, for the light that you are. That's, you know, I'm sure you're probably that same kind of person before, but it's a blessing to the congregation, to me, And I just want you to know that. But we, all of us have circumstances, don't we, have that we go through, that we have gone through in our life. I haven't had a chance to talk to my son, the one I went to visit in Fayetteville, Arkansas. He and his two sons left the same day that I did to go to Wisconsin to a Bible camp that he went to when he was a kid. And he's going to be a counselor there, and his two boys were going to be the first year at camp. And they're 9 and 11. Well, about 4 hours outside of Bettendorf, Iowa, where one of my daughters lives, they had a flat tire. I kind of wanted to know what's the benefit that they saw in that tire, because he's got a really good, does a really good outlook on life when things like that happen. I think we could all think about things like that, right? That circumstances of life. Paul said, my circumstances are working out for the good, right? For the greater progress of the gospel.
God is telling Ananias to go, you know, preach this message and talk to this Saul of Tarsus.
Right.
Because he's a chosen vessel. And he says there, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to Gentiles, to the Gentiles and their kings, and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. So, Paul got to preach to the Gentiles, and he got to preach to rulers of the Gentiles because he was imprisoned by them, and he had to go give a defense of why he was being accused of this or that by the Jews. So God used this imprisonment to fulfill his will and his message that Paul was going to preach to kings and rulers.
Well, remember that Paul appealed to Caesar, right? To go to Caesar.
So Caesar himself.
Yeah.
Festus and Agrippa.
Yeah, that's right, those guys too, yeah.
So God can accomplish whatever it is that he wants to accomplish regardless of circumstances.
That's right.
He can use, Paul preached to a lot of people he would have never got to preach before. He wasn't going to get an audience with Agrippa or Festus.
You know, I wish, I mean, sometimes one of the blanks I would like to have filled in was that discussion, that appeal about how he talked to Caesar at that point in time. That'd been interesting.
Well, he knew the Roman law.
Yeah. So he was a Roman citizen.
I don't know. He might have done it on purpose.
Never can.
I'll get to the Capitol and talk to Caesar one way or another.
Yep. Okay, any other thoughts before we move on back into our text?
That whole idea very much imitates mirrors the thing that Joseph told his brothers when his brothers thought, you know, he's in power.
Oh, that's right,
he's
yeah.
He's going to do great harm to us. And mm-hmm. what he told his brothers was that what you meant for harm, God meant for good.
Amen, that's
so,
right. And saved his family too.
Yes.
Yeah.
God can do it. Yeah,
that's right, James.
Can God still do that today?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yes.
He's the same God.
I know. I'm not doubting. I'm just reaffirming this. So true.
That only happens when we stay with God. When we go through them troubles and we stay there, it'll work it out.
Well, James chapter 1. says, you know, about trials, that we should rejoice in the trials that we face. And understand, I think when we face trials, that's what all these things are talking about. These are all trials that people face. We can choose one way or the other. We can choose to bless God and thank Him and trust Him, or we can turn away from Him, which becomes sin, like a temptation. Either you can reject it or you can give in to it. And it's what happens, you know, through all of it. Our choices make a big difference in our faith and how we respond to these things. Very good, very good.
Yeah, two really big things happened as a result of this. Obviously, him evangelizing the guard, but also the people that may not have had courage otherwise gained courage as a result of this.
We're getting right there to it. You're right. You're right. Okay, now, verse 14 then. And that's exactly what you're talking about. And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. When we go through difficult things and people see that and see that the true faith that's there, that stands there, it can make such a big difference for other people. Now, the next verses that we go into are very interesting. I think as we notice the next people that he talks about, preaching out of envy and such, I want you to think about the fact that they're not teaching false doctrine, they're just doing it with the wrong heart. Verse 15, some to be sure are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some from goodwill. The latter, that's the ones doing it out of goodwill, do it out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. Oh, of course, those people that had gained strength from his teaching, right? That had gained strength from his teaching, and were to be sure preaching, he starts with the other group. Some are preaching Christ from envy and strife, but not from goodwill. Now, I'm not sure exactly how they would have done that. Maybe they spoke badly about Paul. Maybe they said, look at him. He's in prison, you know. What kind of person, example, is he for us? I don't know exactly how they might have done that. It doesn't tell us. But they did it with the wrong, they were preaching the same gospel, but with the wrong attitude, with the wrong heart. Makes a difference, doesn't it? How we proclaim the Word of God, for what reason we're proclaiming the Word of God, why are we doing what we're doing? As Christians, and of course, as preachers, if you will. But he says there's some that are doing it out of love. That's the ones that were becoming courageous, doing it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Remember what he said back earlier about the gospel. This has happened to me for the greater progress of the gospel, last part of verse 12. Yes, David.
I'm not sure exactly how the preaching of the gospel would stir up trouble for Paul, but I do know those first two things he mentions there. Some might preach it out of selfish ambition.
Right.
Obviously, that's either power or money or something like that, right?
Right. Verse 17.
Or not sincere. That's what the NIV calls it, not sincere.
Okay, so not sincerely.
The points on those two things I can think of, though, the true gospel, I'm going to say, that's going to sound odd, but the true gospel preached insincerely, but received by those hearing it, sincerely, God can use that.
Mm-hmm.
It matters not the motives of the messenger. All that matters is the real message being given from God that will still yield souls for Christ.
Right.
It's not the messenger. It's never been the messenger. It's only the message.
So true. When I was my first...
doesn't matter. It's Do I hear it? Do I receive it? Do I act upon it? Do I believe it?
Mm-hmm.
That's what matters.
True.
You know, the messenger's not important.
Okay. James, did you have a thought there?
Yeah, I mean, we read about something similar, I guess, last week in Titus. It talked about those who, subvert whole households because they're teaching for dishonest gain.
Mm.
And I don't know if that's the same circumstance that we see here. It seems like they were teaching a false doctrine, and maybe these are too. Maybe they're teaching their version of who they believe Christ is or something. I don't know that they're teaching the true gospel of Christ. Maybe there's some truth in the things that they're saying, perhaps. But is their message true and in accord with God's will fully?
We didn't read verse 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. So I don't think it was false teaching here, because Paul wouldn't be rejoicing in that. In pretense or in truth. Well, pretense might indicate that it wasn't in truth. But anyway, there was some questionable things that were taking place with their teaching and preaching that they were doing. And they were doing it to hurt Paul, apparently. And Paul says, if the truth is being, this is how I have always thought about it, and maybe I'm not completely on board here, but like you said, it's the message. If the message is true, then it's going to make it, that's the main thing, that the message is true. And so I think that's very important here.
It's just like what Jesus talked about the Pharisees at the time. When they came to Jesus, said, Master, these men are teaching us this and that. He said, well, do it. They're right. Just don't live like them, because they're not living the way they're preaching. But what they're preaching, that's the right message.
Yeah.
Follow, do what they say, but not what they did.
Basically. Do what they say and not what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the
pretense man.
What's that?
What did you say? Pretense.
In verse 18, it says, what then? This is the New American Standard. Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth. How does that translation you're reading there read?
Yeah, it said pretense and truth. I would ask them, what do pretense?
The NIV translates that false motives.
False motives? Well, that's pretense too,
yeah.
Right? Oh, pretense. I think what he said is a good definition of it. False motives. You're not doing it. You're doing it like you. Just.
Georgia,
what did you say, Georgia?
It's you're pretending to do something.
That's a good definition. You're pretending to do it. Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Georgia. Okay. So. I guess the thing that I see here is that Paul is beginning to just talk about his imprisonment and how we know that if you went back to Acts again, 28 of the last chapter in Acts, you see that there were people that they came and heard him. And like so many times happened, that the people were divided. There was people that listened to him, they were excited about him, and then there was those religious leaders again, the Jewish leaders, that they rejected what Paul was teaching. And I don't think this is talking about Jewish leaders here. I think he's actually talking about Christians here, because he's talking about preaching the gospel. Okay, any other thoughts down through, I guess, through 18? Okay, Paul, I have this in my translation. The next sentence, the next verse starts at the end of verse 18. Yes, I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Well, as we know, Paul likes long sentences.
Yeah,
there's a lot there. He's going to rejoice. Why? for I know that it's going to turn out for my, what, deliverance. We do know, again, this is history maybe, because it doesn't say this exactly, but Paul was probably released from his first imprisonment when Rome and went to Spain. Paul had always wanted to go to Spain and teach the gospel there. We're not told any great any details about that, but that it was his desire to go there. And then the second time he was arrested in Rome was when he was finally put to death in Rome. But he says, I know this is going to turn out for my deliverance. And basically, you've been praying about this, and we're going to get into this more detailed here, that you've been praying about this, I've been praying about this, God's going to deliver me. And I was talking with my daughter-in-law about faith. We were talking about God working in faith and how he works, that we probably don't trust enough in God's faith and are, you know, having faith in God to do the things that he says to do. Paul was at he'd been in prison in Judea, and now he's been in prison here, had that imprisonment trip in Rome. He's been in prison for at least 2 years, and he says, I know God's going to deliver me. And sometimes you think that he could see that delivery. I mean, does it look like he was going to be delivered after all this time? Doesn't seem like it as we look at it from a human point of view. There's things that happen in our lives that we just don't think are going to be able to work out by a human point of view. But God is more powerful than we are, and we need to have just a greater reliance, a greater determination, that if we ask God for something, it's not like, God, would you please do this? But thank you, God, that you're going to do this. Knowing that, you know, Jesus said, pray, you know, give thanks that it's going to happen. In Mark, he talks about this when he's talking about throwing the tree into the sea and so on, and the mountains. But he says, pray as if you've already received it and give thanks in that way. And I think it's a matter of turning our faith around rather than just a wish and a hope, but an assurance that God can do what he says he can do. What's the condition for God doing? And that's, we don't control God, but we trust him, right? What's the concern? What does God expect of us? Faithfulness. Odell, what did you say?
To do his will.
To do his will, yeah. Yes, Georgia.
End of verse 20, after he's talked about, he thinks he's going to be delivered, but he's got great expectation.
Right.
And at the end, he says, whether by life or by death.
And that's exactly what he leads right into that next part of it. In Romans, Paul talks about, if I live, well, praise the Lord. If I die, well, praise the Lord. Whether I live or die, praise the Lord. And he says that's a good echo of what he says here. And what did Jesus? Didn't Jesus do the same thing?
Nevertheless, not my will, but thine.
That's right. That's exactly right. Nevertheless, my will, but thine be done. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing. God, let this cup pass from me. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have nearly all the words that happened there, because it said he was in great agony as he prayed these things three times. But what happened after the last time Jesus prayed that? He stood up and was
comforted by, not my will, but your will.
That's right, and he was ready for that to happen, wasn't he? After that, James?
He was comforted by God and by angels prior to on many occasions when he struggled.
That's right. He was comforted. And the angels did come and comfort him, you know, as he finished up those prayers. You know, I think it's a whole reliance upon God, isn't it? And it's, boy, I know that I have a long ways to go there till I'm there yet. You know, I always appreciate Paul. Not as he says later in Philippians, I have not yet obtained. He's in prison, the same book he's writing, the same thing, time frame. I have not yet obtained, but I press on to the upward call of Jesus Christ. That's not something that discourages me. That's something that encourages me. To know that that great man of God still saw that he can do more, be more than what he was. Okay, let's back up a little bit on these verses here. I don't want to take too much time, but on 19. Turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know, it's not just about your prayers, but it's what God wants through the Spirit of Jesus Christ that he's bringing us about. According to my earnest expectation and hope. Now, he did want this. I mean, he did want to have this chance to be freed, if it was God's will. You know, he talks about, turn out for my deliverance, according to my earnest expectations, earnest or great desire of expectation. He's expecting it. I will not be put to shame in anything, but as you said at the last part of verse 20, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death, even by all boldness. Lord, help me to be bold to accept what you want for me, whether to live or to die. I want what you want. You know, Paul couldn't see, even through the inspired man of God, he couldn't see everything that was coming, but he trusted God for everything that was coming. Lord, just please help us to have that. Help me to have that. I want that in my own life. Any thoughts there? We've got a little bit of time. I want to get into the next verses, but if you have some thoughts, that's fine. Okay, now, Paul said whether to live or die, right? Some of the most powerful and verses are in the next verses here. For me, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will meet fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having a desire to part and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And he just had said, what? Whether by life or by death. And then he says, for me, to live is for Christ. I mean, I can go on living for Christ if I continue to live. But to die is gain. Why is it gain to him? Why?
Eternity's waiting.
That's right. Eternity is waiting. I had someone just say to me recently that I'm ready to go home. You know, I'm ready to go home. And I have no doubt. I know what's going to happen. You know, I'm ready. Isn't that a marvelous? That should be our expectation right now, that we each could say right now today, Lord, I'm ready to go home. And that's what Paul is saying, isn't it? Is it so much better to go and be with Christ, to die and go be with Christ? But he says, I know that it's going to be better for you if I stay. You know, just think about the Philippians hearing this. No, Paul, we don't want you to die. Can't you just hear them thinking that and saying that as they read these words? No, we don't want you to die. We need you. We need you. And Paul says, well, probably because of that, I'm going to stay here, right? I'm going to keep on living. Because God would see that. Lost my place. We got caught up in one another along with Paul's. Okay, verse 24. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake, and I'm convinced of this. I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Not that, that's not proud for me, but proud to be in Christ, to trust in Christ. I will remain and continue with you for all of this. I'm so thankful that God has a choice, don't you? That he makes a choice. Because I think, especially sometimes when we get down, I was a Kiwanis today, and the man that was speaking was a vet, talking about what he's doing in different activities. And he said, I've struggled ever since I came out of the Army in 2009 with depression and with suicidal thoughts. And he said, just last week I did this, had this again. But I was helped by the things that I'm doing and the people around me. Didn't talk about God, but he talked about that. But my point is that there's times in life when we get down. I've never had that threat in my life. You know, never thought about committing suicide or anything like that. But there are a lot of people that have.
That's what the devil wants.
That's what the devil wants. Oh, that's...
despair.
That's right.
And God doesn't love us and nobody else does either, and that's just not true.
That's lies.
That's a lie.
That's a lie. God does love us. God does want us.
No matter what we've done, no matter how long we've done it, God still loves us. And he wants us to be with him.
That's right. I'm going to repeat that so it can be heard. Make sure God does love us. God does want us. You know, he wants us to stay here and be with him. He died. Jesus died on the cross so we can be with him. And not give in, not to give up, not to quit, but to keep on pressing on to the upward call of Jesus Christ. Well, that's a good place for us to tie in. So if you will mark in your Bibles, if you want to, verse 27, that's where we will begin next week. You know, when we think about how God works in our lives, and that when we put our faith and trust in him, he's going to bring about the very best for us. God wants us to trust him, to come to him, to obey him, to love him, so that we can have our sins forgiven and we can be made right with him. And then we turn our life, not only turn our life over to him when we become a Christian, but we continue to do that every day, growing in him, so we can walk with him and live in him. So if you need to come to Christ tonight, won't you come as together we stand and sing?
667.
Would you be free from the burden of sin?
There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Would your evil a victory win?
There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power, wonder-working power
in the blood.
In the blood.
There is power and power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you be free from your passion and pride?
There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Come for a cleansing to Calvary's time.
There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power, wonder-working power
in the blood.
Wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow?
There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.
There is power, power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King?
There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Would you live daily his praises to sing?
There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power, wonder-working power
in the blood of the Lamb.
There is power, power. wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Wow, it's so great to be with all of you tonight. Thank you for coming to our assembly. God's pleased with you. I'm encouraged by you. So just know that God sees us. God sees us, and He cares about us, and He wants us to have a good week, and this is a good way to start the rest of our week. So, got some of those are going to be traveling soon amongst us. Miller's going to be gone for some much-needed vacation time and family time, and so I'm certain they're looking forward to that and want to hear about good things you experience and all those things for you. I'm excited to hear about it. Anybody else have anything that we need to announce tonight? We've got several. Anybody have any updates on our sick or shut-ins? Doug?
Again, Pearl is doing well. She's would, of course, like to have visitors when she can. But she's doing well here. It's hard. You know, it's hard for her. She's right-handed. She's got that cast on her right arm. And so that's hard for her. But I just appreciate her spirit and attitude.
Yep.
And Sue had a... I didn't have a chance to talk to her since I talked to her Sunday night, but she had an appointment someplace in Kentucky.
Okay.
But she's just real, just trusting God through it all.
Mm-hmm. Good, good. So Pearl's doing well. She'd like some visits. If you have time to stop by Aunt Pearl's at the nursing facility, if you don't know my Aunt Pearl, it's really okay. You just say, "Hi, Pearl," and she'll take over.
That's right.
She'll visit with you. So perfectly fine. And then Sue's going to, or has seen a doctor over in Kentucky, or going to see a doctor.
Monday
she's going over. So we pray for Sue that she can get some answers. Again, Naoma is at home and, still trying to recover from another punctured lung, so that's a real challenge for her, man. She's already weak, and that keeps happening, so pray for strength for her and for her body. She's a beloved woman who's given much of herself in service to others and set a great example for us, and we need to pray for her physical strength to be granted to her as much as God's will is. And again, as I often pray, where our physical strength is not to be improved, we can always pray for spiritual strength to get us through those difficult times. We can endure anything physically with enough spiritual strength. And so we want to encourage one another in that. Anything other? Any final things like that? Nothing? Clayton, won't you lead us in prayer tonight? Come up here and give us a prayer, brother.
Let us pray. This evening, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you once again, thanking you for letting us come out to study another part of your word. Lord, we're just praying, Lord, that we'll get the things out of it that you would have for us to get out of it. Again, Father, Lord, I want to continue praying for all those that are sick and in the hospitals and different other various places. Lord, just especially want to pray for those of the household of faith, praying, Lord, if it be your will, just stop by, touch them, heal them where they need healing, build them up where they're torn down, and strengthen them where they're weak. Again, Father, Lord, I want to pray for all those that are traveling, and just praying that you give them traveling grace throughout this week. Again, Father, Lord, I want to pray for all the ones that's just shut in and can't get to the church, Lord. We're just praying for them. And Lord, I want to pray for the ones that were mentioned, and Father, Lord, I want to pray for all those that mentioned on the prayer list here and throughout the land and country. And Father, Lord, I want to be with Brother Doug as he continue to bring the Bible studies to us, Lord, that we may get a better understanding out of it. And again, Father, Lord, as we dismiss from this service, Lord, we're praying that you dismiss Dismiss us not from your presence, and bring us back at that next appointed time. For it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.